I might start by praying for us before we get into God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your good word. We thank you that you transform us by it. Please help me to speak clearly. Please help everyone else to listen carefully and have their hearts transformed for all of us, that is, Lord. Amen. Okay, last Sunday you might have noticed if you were travelling down the road that the Forest Rangers were having their annual end of year presentation, sports presentation for the soccer club. My son William has, I think, collected nearly 10 of these, or been to 10 of these presentations. Each year he gets an encouragement award for being part of the team. It got me thinking about encouragement awards, and one of the things I couldn't help but think was that trophy manufacturers all over the place must be really doing quite well when you consider how many trophies are given away each year. I also couldn't think about, I suppose, how trophies or that encouragement award and how it affects us. Because in the first few years of being a member at that club, I enjoyed the fact that my young little nippers used to get an encouragement award for participation. But as the trophies started to pile up in the garage in boxes, I started to think that maybe the trophies had sort of lost their intended purpose. The well-intended purpose from the club was that the kids would be encouraged to come back each year. Was being eaten away because it wasn't meaningful anymore. I hadn't noticed that my boys were training any harder. I hadn't noticed that they were putting any extra to learn new skills each year. They were just putting their trophies at the back of the wardrobe. Maybe the club could get a better return on their investment by encouraging the parents with a nice bottle of red to come back next year. You see, I think there's this problem where our desire to get to the finishing line full of hope and motivation has led to us having a misunderstanding of what real encouragement is and should be. That was from before. Don't misunderstand my sentiment. I love, as much as anyone, a warm word of encouragement from a good friend. I even love being able to share with each of you some encouraging words that might help you get to the end or motivate you to carry on. But is that all encouragement is? Just a few choice words or about getting to the finishing line? Or is there something more to encouragement that might help us as we do church and life together? I'm thinking that encouragement should be more than a box of forgotten trophies or just a few well-chosen words to make us feel temporarily better. Real encouragement should be longer lasting, and it should have the power to change our lives. So as we investigate what real encouragement is this morning, let's look at this morning's Hebrews passage and remember the main theme of our current sermon series, which is God's love in action. By looking at encouragement with this theme in mind, we might see God's good purpose for encouragement in our lives. Let's start by looking at the first few verses together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. You see, unlike our encouragement that comes from a dusty trophy or a few well-chosen words, the encouragement that we're reading about in our passage today isn't superficial or easy to put away in a box. To summarise, these first few verses are telling us that we can now have confidence to enter heaven without the guilt of sin because Jesus Christ has become the one perfect and true sacrifice that pays for those sins. Unfortunately, though, our author doesn't use simple language. He uses symbolic language like Holy of Holies. He tells us about curtains and great high priests. Now, these things might not mean much to us in 2018, but to the Christians who this letter was written, they knew what all this symbolism meant, because they were once Jews who followed God's law very closely. They understood the Holy of Holies to be the inner room of the temple where the ark, which contained the Ten Commandments, was. They knew that this inner room of the temple was out of bounds to everyone except the high priest, and only he could enter once a year to offer a sacrifice to God for Israel's sin. A little bit before our passage today in Hebrews chapter 9, the author explains that even though God was pleased with the sacrifices offered by the high priest, they were not able to clear the conscience of the people. You see, God wanted his people to be reminded through year after year sacrifice made in the temple that they were still sinful. Now, if you are as old as I am, and that probably suggests I'm a little bit older than that, and you've been driving for a while, you might remember the old toll booth down at Waterfall on the Princess Highway. A few mates and I would usually go down the coast each weekend surfing, and I can guarantee you that every time that we approached the toll on our way home, there would be panic in the car as we realised we had no money for the toll. We had spent most of our money on hamburgers and meat pies. Somehow, though, we'd be parked 50 metres before the toll, searching through the bottom of our seats, looking for 1, 2, and 5 cent coins behind those seats. And we'd always find enough for the toll, but there was this constant stress every time we went surfing. Fortunately, we live in a new age, don't we? Tolls are automatically prepaid. And there's no need for this same anxiety that came from having to find the toll each time. In the same way, Jesus has paid that toll of sin, that price for us, for the rest of our lives, so we don't have to worry or feel guilty that we haven't done enough when it comes to our sin. And because Jesus has done this, the author says that you can draw near to God with complete confidence and assurance that your sins have been paid for, that you've been washed clean, and that you've been forgiven. This assurance and confidence in Jesus as our hope is what real encouragement is. It's eternal and deeply personal for each of us. And it's the real encouragement that we can share with each other. So if the good news of Jesus is what real encouragement is, how then are we to encourage each other with it? Let's have a look at our second point to see how. Well, our passage says in two main ways. Firstly, we are to spur one another on to love and good deeds. If you're a city slicker like me, then you might not have seen or know what a spur is. A spur is worn on the heel of a horse rider, and it's got a couple of different purposes. One purpose is to motivate a horse to quickly move, even when it is feeling worn out. This might sound harsh, but if you're on the battlefield in ancient times and you needed a quick escape from danger, spurring your horse on to move quickly could mean life or death. One other use for a spur is that it can be seen in modern equestrian riding. With a spur, a rider can transmit subtle signals to the horse that are almost invisible to other competitors. These two ways in which spurs can be used are important for us to take note of. Balancing the harshness of a heavily dug-in spur compared to the gentle nudge of a spur intended only to slightly change direction means that we should think carefully about how we spur one another on. You wouldn't spur a war horse on with a gentle nudge. Defeat would surely come. In the same way, you wouldn't dig a sharp spur into an equestrian horse, drawing blood because that horse might bolt, never to be seen again. The practical nature of spurring each other on means that we will sometimes get this measure wrong. So it's important that we put into practice the good listening skills and speaking skills that we've been learning about in the last few weeks of this sermon series. It'll help us when and as we spur each other on. Remembering to listen in the midst of someone's addiction to sinful ways or to someone's deep hurts at losing a family member will be important in working out how to spur someone on. Listening well by showing humility and remembering we have two ears to listen and one mouth to speak might also be important. Secondly, once we have a good understanding of how to spur one another on, because we have listened well and have got to know the person better, we need to be able to speak appropriately and with love into people's lives. At the heart of our speech should be the hope that the gospel brings, the hope that and encouragement that we were given in the start of today's passage, that we can have complete confidence in Jesus, who is the one who has finally paid the price for our sin. This good news, friends, has the power to heal us from addictions. It has the power to comfort us in our sorrows, guide us when we are lost. Friends, it brings reconciliation when we are separated. It sustains us when we are feeling weak, and it brings hope to those who are sick or facing disaster. The second way in which we can encourage each other with the gospel is in the command that we might not stop meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. One of the joys of living in the Bogan Shire, Sutherland Shire, did I say that? Is that it's mandatory to have a fire pit. And because I love burning things, I've had lots of practice over this winter. One of the things I've noticed about having regular fires is that the hottest time of the fire isn't at the beginning when the 2 litres of diesel I've poured over the fire ignites into a raging 6 feet inferno. No, it's the coals at the end of the night that are the hottest. Even when there are no visible flame or any extra wood has been put to the fire, the coals just keep burning hot and bright, but only as long as they stay together. You pull a single coal away from that fire, from the other coals, and that one burning coal loses its heat and dies out. The church that we meet in each week, the growth groups we attend, even the friendships that we meet with socially, are just like those hot coals, right? And when we keep meeting together, we will continue to warm and fuel each other. When we stop meeting together, we become like that coal that's been taken out of the fire. We lose our heat, and eventually we become cold, cold to Jesus and therefore cold to the hope that he brings. Friends, staying close to the source of the heat will require us to invest deeply into each other's lives, with time and honesty. We will need to be intentional in the way that we open our homes together, intentional about deciding to hang out with someone, to read the Bible and pray with them. But meeting with each other regularly means that I and you guys will all be encouraged and warmed by the good news of the gospel. Friends, if I could paint you a picture of what a church that encourages each other by spurring each other on, continually meeting together, with the gospel at the centre looks like, it would be a church where the heat of the gospel was continually rising, where each of us who are brokenhearted or lost could come and be shown that true hope that the gospel brings. How great would it be for our community that we are trying to reach to see us and see God's love in action as we encourage each other by spurring each other on, by meeting together regularly in the hope that the gospel, with the gospel at the centre. Friends, to finish the passage this morning, our author has one last encouragement for us. It's the reason why we want to be a church that encourages each other. And it's my last point, which can be found in the last half of verse 25. It says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the most common types of questions I get teaching high school students Christianity is the how type of question. How did God create all that he created? How did God come about? What I tell my students is that God's word isn't a textbook on how he did what he did, but a handwritten letter to us about why he did everything he has done. At the end of verse 25 is concerned with this exact thing. Why? Why are we to keep encouraging each other by spurring each other on to love and good deeds? Why are we to keep meeting together? Because Jesus is planning his return. He's planning his return to earth as judge over all of humanity and as saviour of all of those who call him king. Hebrews chapter 9 reminds us, just as man is destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Friends, the ultimate reason for encouraging each other with the gospel is so that we might all be standing firm in our faith on that last day when Jesus returns. That we, as we patiently wait for that time to come, we all might continue to have complete confidence and assurance that Christ has paid the sin, or the price of sin, for all of those who call on him as Lord. Friends, we encourage each other because not only do we want to run the race together, we want to finish the race together. Our biggest challenge as we live in this broken down world is that we will feel like removing ourselves from the fire that keeps us hot. Deep suffering has that effect on us. It deceives us into thinking that no one could possibly know or understand what I'm going through. Those same hurts leave us feeling like hardship is ours to bear alone. Friends, this is a lie from Satan. We have not been brought into a community of believers, brought into a body, the body of this church, to then just do life and hardship on our own. God has given us the command to encourage each other by spurring one another on and meeting together regularly for a good reason. He knows that when we don't rely on him or keep placing our trust in him, that slowly we can start to doubt his promise of hope that Christ has given us. Friends, we might not need to be reminded like the Israelites were, but we do need to be reminded daily of this good news that we have been saved from our own sin through Jesus Christ. God's intention of giving to each one of us this body of believers that stand beside us and sit beside us now is that we would be constantly reminded and constantly remind each other of this good news. Friends, we have all been given good reasons for meeting together regularly and spurring one another on today. To live in love and encouraging each other in love and good deeds. That reason is that God loved you through his incredible action of sending his son to die for you. So let's avoid the urge to send an encouragement to each other via text, or wait for an opportunity when we meet on Sunday. Maybe consider how you might deeply encourage someone by taking the first steps in getting to know them better by meeting with them to read the Bible and pray with them throughout the week. If you don't know how to ask someone, or who to ask even, please come and see me or Stu. We'd love to help you out with that. Another way to encourage each other is to continue being an active and regular part of your growth group each week. Allowing yourself to be vulnerable, more vulnerable than you might have been in the past, may have an effect on others. It will certainly build stronger and more honest relationships with each other, and it will allow others to do the same thing. Friends, today is Hospitality Sunday, right? Hopefully you'll be spending time with people that you don't know that well. Hopefully you're going to have an opportunity to encourage each other by sharing not only your own life, but how Christ is at the centre of your life. My prayer for all of you today is that you would take that opportunity and make today's passage something that is going to stick as part of the culture of this church. I'm going to finish off by praying now. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your good plan in our lives. Not only do you send your Son that we might be saved, but you give each one of us, as a body of believers, the encouragement of this great news. Lord, please help us today as we meet together for lunch. Help us to share our lives together and the hope that we have in you as our greatest encouragement. Lord, please transform us to be people that know this real encouragement so that your church here in Peakhurst would be a beacon of light in our community. Amen.